Yo, yo, Omar Altakori here, and we're going to jump into this conversation that I know will bless you, but I wanted to personally invite you to Las Vegas for the 100th live recording of The Department. We are celebrating 2 years of an incredible run, and we have no plans on stopping, but we do want to celebrate this huge milestone with you. And so this is a live event in Las Vegas at the Video Department headquarters, and would love for you to be in the room. All the information's in the show notes in the description. And it's going to be an awesome time. We're going to have some coffee. We're going to do a live podcast, doing Q&A, inviting some guests, and then ultimately hanging out. And we're going to feed you. And it's going to be an awesome time. It's going to be on a Saturday in November. But want to see you there. Want to shake your hand. Want to say thank you for being a part of the department, fam. And so, yeah, let's get into the episode. If you desire to build an online business that is highly profitable and gives you so much time freedom, you found the right video. This video is a video I wish I had before I got started. It's taken years to uncover and unpack what I'm going to break down and make very simple for you so that you can literally write this stuff down and implement it so that you can get the results that you've been looking for. I found the reason why you're probably stuck, or the reason why you keep going in circles, or the reason why people aren't buying is simply because it's not simple in your mind. And so this conversation is going to break the barriers of obstacles and difficulty, and it's going to make online business so simple, more simple than it ever has seemed before, so that you can actually take action. Welcome to the department. I'm Omar Altakori, and I have with me my co-host, Art.mp4.
Let's go.
No, Art is the man behind, with the plan. And let's jump right into it. The first thing you need to know is the structure of all businesses. If you don't understand how business works, don't be confused, or if you don't understand how business works, don't be surprised when it doesn't work for you. If you don't know how business works, don't be surprised when it doesn't work for you. How do all businesses work? Businesses, all businesses, online or in person, they all come down to these four elements, and then we're going to break down each one. And I want you to figure out the things that you can fix or get better in, okay? The first thing is lead generation. Lead generation. Mm-hmm. Daniel Priestley says, everything is downstream from lead gen. Lead generation is simply, how do people find out about what you do? And more than that, how do they give you their information and so that you can then follow up, reach out, call, whatever. So that's lead gen. The next thing is lead conversion. Lead conversion. This is where people become interested to becoming a customer. This is where people go from being a crowd, an audience, to actually buying something from you. Then we have fulfillment. Fulfillment is the delivery mechanism, the product that you give. It's the thing that people buy, and then how their experience went, which influences the fourth part, which is attention, or I'm sorry, which is retention and ascension. Retention and ascension. And a lot of this conversation is going to come from the context of an online business. And so if you have an in-person service-based business, or maybe you're a real estate agent, the principles still apply, but I'm just letting you know, I'm going to let you in on kind of my multiple seven-figure business so that you guys can get some insight. So let's break down the first thing.
Okay.
And it's really a question. And the question is, how are you getting your leads? How are you getting your leads? Usually, people go into business because you got people in your community, or people in your neighborhood, or people in your, where you're rubbing shoulders. That's where, you didn't realize it, but that's where your leads came from.
Right.
So when we think about an online business, you gotta know where your leads come from. And you also need to know the different types of leads.
Right now, what we're defining leads, what about people who like, how do I get leads though?
Okay, this is really good. Something you bring up is something I want to make sure I say, and that is leads are people.
Okay.
Like I know when we say people are leads, it doesn't really put the real thing that's happening in our minds. It's like a lead is a human being.
Right.
Now, not all leads are created equal. So something you need to know about leads is you need to know where leads come from. You need to know where a lead is at. There's this term that you'll maybe hear from time to time, but it's cold leads, warm leads, and hot leads. When you have a hot lead, that means you have somebody's information that wants what you sell, but they just need to be presented. They need to be converted, and we can get into lead conversion later.
Would you say that all people you interact with are essentially leads?
Well, all people I interact with, for sure, you could say that, but I feel like...
And it's just the range from cold to hot?
Sure.
Because I'm thinking about DMs, people who are in DMs, like asking you about your services or your stuff.
Yeah. But people will argue, though, that they're not a lead until I have their information.
Okay.
Hey, department fam, question for you. Based on you listening to this podcast, you probably are either looking to grow your personal brand this year, build your audience online, and just stop chasing business and start to have business chasing you. If that's you, I want to invite you to the Content to Cash Challenge. This is a 5-day coaching experience, a live coaching experience with myself that's done all on Zoom, and you get access to a private community, and it really is unlike any other experience that I offer. By the end of the challenge, you'll have unreal clarity on what you're supposed to do online, and you'll have the insight on how you can make an extra 6 or even 7 figures. Yes, I said 7 figures in your business this year. And if any of those things sound great to you, I want you to join the next Content to Cash Challenge. Scan the QR code if you're watching on a television or click the link in the description. Once you go through it, go ahead and upgrade to VIP because you'll get an extra hour of bonus VIP Q&A with me every single day of the challenge. And so looking forward to seeing you there. Let's get back into the convo. Technically, this is really good. This is why I love conversation, podcast, content, flow. Some will say that you don't actually have the lead unless you have their name and email at minimum, but then their phone number also, right? Now, the goal with social media is to make when a person becomes a lead, they're not a cold lead.
Okay.
That they know what you do or they trust who you are, which is where the heavy lifting comes from. Like, most people that are in my email list are pretty stinking warm leads because I'm showing up when they're, you know, outside of the email inbox, right? But when I ask the question, how are you getting your leads? You gotta know where that's coming from. Like, it's just like, it's a very simple question. And the crazy thing is, business is so much bigger than the way I teach it. In all honesty, we were in Nebraska a couple of days ago, and I sat at a bar. I never sit at bars, but I went to dinner by myself, and I sat next to somebody who said, this lady, bless her heart, she was a museum consultant.
Museum consultant. What the heck does that mean?
It means she will spend a week refining or coming up with new attractions for certain museums. When I told her I was from Las Vegas, she's like, oh my gosh, I was recently there for the Children's Museum. I was like, Ruby goes to the Children's Museum. She's like, yeah, we came up with new installments and new attractions. I'm like, what do you do for marketing? She says, essentially what I asked her is, what do you do for leads? Like, what do you do for people to know that they want to inquire or they, you know? She says, I just go to 2 conventions a year. As long as I show face there, my year is taken care of. So if I were to ask, I forget her name, but if I were to ask her right now, I'd be like, how are you getting your leads? She would say, I go to 2 conventions, museum
right,
conventions.
But like that almost doesn't answer the question though.
It does. That's how she gets in front of people. That's how people raise their hand.
Right. To your definition, grabbing people's information though.
If she got their information on the phone, or she'd like, okay, let me get you your email. I mean,
okay, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, this okay, is so just like networking. Hand-to-hand combat.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, when you get somebody's information, period, that's a lead.
Okay.
Yeah, and then now, like, to talk through, like, the cold, hot, the cold, warm, and medium or whatever, you could make somebody a warm or hot lead. So if you are watching or listening to this podcast, you could go into the description and literally grab our equipment checklist.
Yes.
Our equipment list, literally. Yep. The links to everything we use to produce this podcast that makes me seven figures, multiple seven figures a year. We just want to give it to you. By you giving us your information, number one, we're adding value because you're getting a resource that you can use to your discretion. But you've already hung out with us too on this podcast. But if I invite you to do a Zoom call, you're not like a stranger. Now, this is the difference between organic marketing and paid marketing. Because oftentimes when somebody doesn't have a good brand and they run paid ads, what tends to happen is you got to get really good at articulating the problem you solve really well, not talk about you. Like, the reason why I don't need to be the greatest at sales is literally because I have a brand.
Yes.
There's so much people that trust me.
Yeah. It does a lot of the heavy lifting.
Does a lot of the heavy lifting. Now, when you're good at sales and you have a brand, you do really well. But if you're, if when you answer the question, how are you getting your leads? And you're like, I'm not doing anything right now. The least you can do is you should be posting content online and inviting people to take something or give them something. This is where I'll just break down a few ways that you can get leads off of organic content, whether it's your Instagram, LinkedIn, or YouTube, or wherever. Will be number one, letting people into a community, free community, giving away a resource that will make somebody's life easier or save them time. Give somebody an assessment where they can find out where they are on the journey of the thing that you help people get better at or accomplish or fix, problem you fix. You can give them a mini course. You can give them a free call, a discovery call, an ebook. All these things in exchange for information. Now, if the thing you give somebody actually helps somebody, chances are is that that creates a new level of trust. Somebody I absolutely love online, and a friend, is Shalene Johnson. And the way she builds her business is in a way where she just adds value to people's lives, and she tells you great things that she buys from Amazon or from wherever. And she says, this stuff helps me. This stuff makes me look young. This stuff makes my whatever enjoy better, whatever it is. And she gives that away. So what she's actually doing is she's building trust throughout the year. And then when she opens up something, you're like, well, she's already helped me in every other area of my life.
Yeah.
Now, I just want to be more practical. I don't want to lose people. We're still in the lead gen phase, but I just want you to know you need to be able to answer the question, how are you getting your leads? This is like, yeah, get in front of people. You might be listening or watching this and you already speak on stages. Did you know if you have a speaking engagement, if you know the host or the person inviting you, respectfully ask for the email list, the CSV file for everyone attending this event. So there's somebody in our coaching group, she actually helps churches and worship leaders better their worship experience, better the skill, better their leadership, right? She spoke at an event with like 600 people. If this person started from zero and she got in front of an audience of 600, somebody has that data somewhere.
Right.
Usually the host, hey, can I get the CSV file? Now, you can take leads and then you convert those leads.
Would it be that, asking for it beforehand, or would it be running a play that you ran, which was throwing up a QR code at the end of a talk?
You could do that too.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, if you're speaking on stages, whether virtual or in person, inviting people into your world in any capacity is smart. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, when should I break down literally how I cooked for Podcast Summit? Or do it at the end? People are like, right now. Okay. I'm literally breaking this down, and you could singularly make this happen so that you can make money. So I'm just going to break down this sequence, right? Oh, no, I can just break it down throughout the podcast. So how did I, this is a great question. Okay. So when I spoke at an event with about 1,000 or so people, I invited people into a free group.
Yes.
And that group grew by how many?
What was it, like 600?
Okay, let's just say 600.
Yeah.
So before I spoke at this event, this group had 600 less people at it.
Yes.
I don't throw a QR code. What happens, Art?
You don't get 600 new people.
Nothing happens.
Yeah.
When you don't do something, nothing happens. Yeah. Oh my gosh. But the problem is people are so into themselves and they get so caught up in the talk and they get so caught up in the opportunity, they forget that this is just a this is simply the opportunity to get leads. Period. So like, but here's what most people want to do. This is what most people like you want to do. You want to convert right away. Cause you watch or you listen to podcasts like this or YouTube videos or content, or you follow people like me and they're just like, make money, make money, make money. And so you're just so consumed with like the sale. No, the longer you can delay the ask, the more you can ask for.
So good.
So that was our lead gen opportunity. That was our lead gen strategy for speaking at an event.
Yes.
Was get a QR code and invite people into a group. And I'm just going to give you it. School is a great place to do it. It's like $9 a month. If you want a free school community, that could be like your CRM per se.
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to tell people, join my school. Because the question was, how did you get people to even want to scan the QR code and even jump in there? I told everybody in the room, hey, I'm doing a special call on YouTube next week. If you want to be on that call, I'll answer all your questions. Hit the QR code. Like, just lead with what people want, not what you're using, you know? Hey, we had to pause this podcast and let you know about the Department Live happening in Las Vegas. We're gonna be recording the 100th episode of this podcast live here at our headquarters. And if you're seeing this, not that many people know, because there's only about 100 or so tickets for sale. And so I want you to come to Las Vegas, come meet me and art.mp4, and we're gonna be packing out this space of ours and shooting our 100th episode live. Gonna be doing Q&A, gonna be doing some like tacos or In-N-Out burgers outside, music, gonna have merch. And so I want you to check out the link in the description, scan the QR code, and I can't wait to meet you, our department fam, here at the department headquarters. Hey, so grateful, can't believe 100 episodes. Let's get back to the combo.
And like, it wasn't an opt-in page that led to
anything.
The school. It was literally just the link to join the community, because school already does that for you. It like captures their email and stuff, and it has that information.
It's probably like one of the easiest ways to do this. Yeah. The other way to do this is to create a form, and we've done this in the past.
Yes.
We'll create a form, or we'll say, hey, DM me the word create on Instagram and then I'll send you a thing. And then it's just like, there's nothing wrong with those ways. There's nothing wrong with any way. The way is the way that you work.
Yeah.
I said this on the call this morning. I said, the right thing to do is to just do it, because the wrong thing to do is to try and do the right thing, which everybody's trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as right thing. There's only doing it.
Okay.
Because most people speculate and then you overthink. Don't overthink it.
Bottom line, just capture people's information.
That just needs to be the next level of lead gen is actually predictably watching leads come in. Like, I don't, and which by the way, we don't always do that. When you give me your information right now, nobody just calls you like within the same 30 minutes. But if you're putting out content online and you get a massive influx of leads, having someone call and check in and be like, hey, saw that you downloaded this, saw that you bought this, saw that you got on the wait list for this. Like, most people aren't willing to do the work. Everybody complains about not making money, but it's like, just make the phone call. So like, let's just say I didn't do anything after that speaking engagement and we just went on the phones. Do you think we would have made just as much money?
For sure.
For sure.
Because there were, yeah, just talking to people, there were people ready.
Right.
That so, were hot. There were hot leads literally ready.
Yeah. And sometimes somebody is a self-sold lead, mm-hmm. right? Maybe they've been watching content around the thing that you help people with and they are sold on the idea of something, which is like, that's what I call nuance. Sometimes people just sold their home and cashed in on their equity. And so they have money to invest and they want to do something else. They want to launch a podcast and like you have a launch a podcast offer. Well, did you control the life that this person is experiencing right now? Like that they cashed in and no, but you came at the right time because you're consistent. You show up consistently. So that's lead gen, lead generation.
Real quick, this supports your philosophy on like big audiences don't matter.
Right.
Because people who are so caught up in like wanting to grow their following, grow their audience, it doesn't matter if you're not capturing leads. Because like how many people have you spoken to that, oh yeah, Omar, I have this many followers. I have a crazy audience. Hey, how are you capturing people's information? I'm supposed to do that? Oh my, it's like, what?
No, legit. But that's because just because you're a content creator and you have an audience doesn't mean you have a business.
Right.
All business stems from is data. And if you don't have data, you can't make decisions. If you can't make decisions, then you're speculating. And then it just becomes a gamble. You're not building a business. You're just crossing your fingers and hoping your bank account grows. Lead conversion. Lead conversion. How do you take somebody who says they're interested in the idea of something and then get them to a place to make a purchase? This is the conversation of sales. And what most people I find struggle with is they want to jump to the conversion part because that's all you care about. Or maybe you feel like you have to make money. So let's just back up. And I want you to know how you can get really good at lead conversion. And the first way to do that is by removing yourself from the outcome of conversion.
Mm.
Like the moment you, like we were on our coach call today and someone told me that they were actually doing lead conversion strategies. Like they were running challenges with people and never even gave an offer. And the thing she mentioned on the call was like, you're right. I'm just afraid of rejection. Well, if you're afraid of somebody saying no to your offer, you have the wrong idea of sales. The goal for letting people know what you have to offer them, and think of offer as a good thing. Offer is never, it should never be a negative thing, especially if you sell something good. If the thing you sell is intended to help someone else, is intended to help somebody get somewhere faster, is to help somebody get a transformation quicker, is to help somebody get a result quicker, to eliminate headache. If that's your offer, then when somebody says no to your offer, they're not saying no to you, the person. They may not be saying no completely. They may just be saying no, not yet. Like this was a huge breakthrough that I had years ago, maybe 3 years ago now, was when I was always afraid to tell people my price because I was afraid they would say no. I got over that because I was told that's the goal. The goal is to get as many no's as possible.
Mm.
If you give your offer, if 250 people get to hear your offer in a year's time, and let's just call your offer $5,000 for simple math, 250 people and 10% say yes, which would be 25 people, that's $125,000, 12 grand a month. But you have to be able to withstand 225 no's.
Right.
And like so much of life is built this way. what I mean when I say that is, like, the way we really went past seven figures was when I accepted the cost. Mm. Cost being no's. So, like,
cost being no's.
Like, the way you make $1 million is you say no to this much money in order to make this much money. Does that make sense?
Like, no to keeping this.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
It's kind of like the same idea.
Yeah.
The more I say no to, the more I make.
Right.
The more I say no to holding, like, tight, right? But let's just go back to lead conversion. I'm trying to give it all away. I know we're limited by time. But you have to reverse engineer the environment the person is in when they hear your offer. Because there could be a chance that a person is the right person. They just heard it in the wrong environment. This is why social media is the worst environment to give your offer to.
Yeah, what do you mean by, like, I mean, what could be wrong environment? Like, someone hears your offer in the wrong environment. Like, what does that mean?
It means, and by the way, when I say offer, I mean, like, the transactional offer, not the lead gen. Because having a lead could be a lead generation offer.
Sure.
But I mean, like, the offer to work together.
Yep.
Most people don't realize that someone needs to become aware of the importance of what it is they're having fixed. Like, you have to consider the environment and even the mindset frame a person is in when they hear the question or when they hear the opportunity.
Got it.
That's what I mean by the environment. So the last time you told somebody what it is you sell, what was happening? Did you conduct a presentation? Did you do a call? Did you get a, this is why sales calls are even a thing. It's to get people in the mind frame or the environment to get to the place of saying yes, right? Mm-hmm. Or no. So that's what I mean by, like, the environment. Most people are trying to rush the sale. They're desperate for the sale, which is, I always talk about, the two killers of sales is desperation and time. But, like, if you're desperate for the sale and you try to rush to it, no, serve the people. So I'm just gonna break down literally what I do, right? So I invited people into that free community.
Yep.
And then I did a call and I taught for almost an hour on that call. And then I sold them a next step. The beautiful thing about building an online business too, by the way, is the ability to do things one to many. That everything I do in my business is one to many, down to even, like, this podcast, down to generating leads and then teaching and then doing the challenge, the content to cash challenge, which is just another vehicle or environment people are awakened to the importance of building a personal brand.
This just came to mind. I don't know. This is a super random thought, but inviting people into a community is super wise, especially if it's capturing information already, like, you know, with it, because it's like it nurtures itself. Like, you don't post often, daily, even maybe weekly sometimes, in that community.
We post weekly, dude. Chill, bro. We post weekly. Unless you don't post weekly.
Weekly is like normal.
Yeah, no, but, like, they're there for the idea. They're not there for me.
Yeah, that community is happening on its, like, it's happening right now. There's people talking in it. There's people conversing. And, like, yeah, it's just interesting to think that that's a great way.
I'm simply a facilitator.
Yeah.
So I've curated the reason why we're all here, which is in this case is, like, building your online business, which, by the way, if you want to join that community, AO, link in the description. But it's smart to not build things on you, really. Like, I don't build that community on the idea of Omar. That community is built on the idea of building your personal brand, but built on the idea of marketing your business. But yes, it's self-sustained. Yeah. It's,
I mean, I guess what I'm saying essentially is it's more attractive for people too. Instead of get on my email list, it's join my free community.
Sounds like great.
I'm down to join a free community.
Right.
You know, of like-minded things and people in my industry. Sure. Yep.
And what's cool is like, literally we could just like plop a call and people can just hop on that call. And then we can just, this is how you keep leads warm, by the way. You just keep serving
right.
them.
Right, yes.
You know? Yeah, so something we could probably do while we have downtime this year is honestly just like, let's just throw up, just like do a little Q&A call or something, you know?
Yeah, totally.
But this is lead conversion. The question is, of the leads you're getting, how many people are becoming customers or taking you up on the offer, right?
And I think in the beginning you mentioned when you started the conversion part was that people are like quick to want the conversion, but it's a journey. The conversion part is a journey and it's not just a decision. People think it's just a decision. It's like, okay, it's just a switch. Okay, they're converted. It's like, no, there's a lifespan here.
Yeah. And by the way, I wish I started the podcast with this. Everything I'm talking about, guys, if you grasp and you get good at it, I don't have a sales team.
Would you argue it's pretty darn simple? Like this structure?
Yeah, I mean, it's simple. It's an oversimplification. Business in and of itself could be complex, but most of the time we make it complex.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just letting people know that like I have two employees, me and my wife, and then like a couple contractors here and there when we need them. Multiple seven-figure business. Like it's crazy. But and I'm not dogging anybody else. Some people need a sales team. Some people need, maybe we'll have a sales team one day, you know? I'm not dogging it. Right now in this season, I'm just saying you don't need everything to get to your original goal. You have everything you do need. I just want to make sure that you guys know that. But when you understand the business in this way, you could operate from a place of, this is why I don't need a bunch of information. I just need numbers. I just need data. What's the open rates on the email? Have we increased the number? Like, how many people wanted a refund? Or have we even tried? Like, these are the levers that I'm always looking at, right? And we have a lot of conversations on sales with other people, as well as one I did too not too long ago. But you got to commit to becoming great at sales. It doesn't matter what role you play in your business, as CEO, as lead creator, as lead coach or whatever. The ability to persuade is an undeniable skill that will serve not just you in life, but it'll serve the people you're called to serve. Because people that are supposed to work with you, they won't work with you because you don't know how to communicate their problem in a way that makes it sound like you've been thinking about it more than they have. This is persuasion, right? So even this podcast, if you're still listening or watching, it's because you feel like we're talking to you. How can we do that when there's just two of us right now? It's because I'm paying attention. And so it's kind of like ranty, feisty Omar. But just understand that context that people are sold in. I have had, and then let's talk about failures for a second. How many flops, how many sales flops has Omar Altacori made that you've witnessed? Let's go number one. Number one is probably that real estate event I spoke at.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay,
definitely.
So sale flop number one, I got flown out to speak at an event, taught so much game.
You skipped the lead generation, went straight to conversion.
Yes, and it was like a $3,000 offer. Now,
yeah,
one could do that when you know how to sell though.
For sure.
So that was
with because that was a cold audience. That was a cold audience.
It was a cold audience, but also it was a big ask.
Yes.
So I probably could have got him into something, but this is like hindsight, right? I've done two webinars
with 300 people.
With over 300 people on them,
yep.
And no one buys.
After teaching for 2.5 hours.
After teaching for 2.5 hours. And then we recently, had an L. Okay. While we were in St. George.
Oh, yeah.
We had a whole campaign.
Yep.
To launch a new offer, and no one bought.
Yes.
So, the biggest mistake of them all is just simply not understanding the process, or it not being very clear about, I feel like I did the heavy lifting to create the demand, but then we just had a technical difficulty on that last one.
Yeah.
But every outcome, how do you remove yourself from outcome of sales? You remove yourself by understanding that whatever the outcome that comes is a result of what's supposed to be.
Like whatever is supposed to happen will happen.
I guess that's the way people have been saying it all along, yes.
Yeah.
And whatever does happen, when you say that, when you say whatever is supposed to happen will happen, people will say that in the beginning, mm-hmm. but then they'll be disappointed when nothing happens.
Right.
But you need to know that nothing happened for a reason.
Yes.
So unpack that reason. What did you do wrong? What about that? Like, man, entrepreneurship is a very emotionally taxing journey, especially early on, because you're so tied to outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't until you start getting confident in the thing you sell. This is why it's important to get people through your stuff and help them and get testimonials and get proof, because there comes a day where you no longer have to personally sell the thing. Other people will sell it for you.
Yeah. You should almost like look forward to, I mean, I don't want to be the guy to say this, but I guess I am. You should look forward to failure, because in the failure, there's going to be a valuable lesson that you needed to know. And that's what was supposed to happen, is you figuring out something that you didn't know. So like all of those failures you just mentioned, there was a very big lesson after every single one of them.
Yeah. I like to say there's no such thing as failure.
Yeah.
There's simply feedback.
Yes.
And so even when you get no's, like the amount of no's we've gotten for people that we've given the offer to, the feedback from why people say no has made the offer better. And so when you know why people say no, it's actually insight and data on what's wrong with either the experience, the process, the vehicle, the call, the offer itself. You get access to that when somebody says, no, not right now. You know, and this is where you start getting into objections. This isn't a sales conversation. This is just, I wanted to bring your awareness to the levers of online business that could help grow your business. That's conversion. Anything else when it comes to lead conversion?
I feel like that was deep.
That was pretty deep. The next thing is something that if you're a creative, or if you're somebody who's building something that's near and dear to your heart.
Heart and soul.
This is something you're more obsessed with versus lead generation and lead conversion, and that's fulfillment.
Fulfillment,
meaning the product.
The big time entrepreneurs listening to this just threw up in their mouth a little bit.
Why?
Yeah. Get it? It's a freaking joke, dude.
I don't get it.
Because most of them suck with fulfillment.
Oh, that's facts. Which actually messes with the other part.
But yeah.
Yes. Here we go. New entrepreneurs, they are obsessed with fulfillment. That's all they think about.
Yep.
They think about the experience. They think about the program. Yeah. They think about the course. They think about the
That's also group. Where their stress comes from.
Too. Yes. Is you're actually caring about the thing, but people don't buy your offer because of the thing you're selling them. They buy your offer because of the outcome you're selling them. But if you're selling them a thing, no one wants to buy a thing for a lot of money. They want to buy, they will buy an outcome for a lot of money or a payoff. Now, yes, new entrepreneurs obsessed with fulfillment. High level entrepreneurs, they tend to remove themselves or become less involved with fulfillment, which there's nothing wrong. When you test your offer so much that it's so proven, you don't need to be the one.
Right.
It kind of goes back to like, sometimes people tend to make the mistake of even selling the person. Like if I sold me, then when I remove myself, people are gonna be mad. But if I sell what the outcome that a person gets, it doesn't matter who fulfills, in all honesty. Now, some people will want access, and I get it. I get that people, if you're paying a coach and then you get a different coach, then it's like, man, I thought I wanted access to this person's brain and their wisdom and their mind. That's where you get mastermind, the phrase comes from, is like there's one person and you get their mind on your stuff. But dude, Dave Ramsey focuses on lead gen. Then he has a sales team. And then he has coaches and facilitators. So like he's removed from the process, right? But fulfillment, if you're somebody that like you're the reason why you haven't even launched your business or you haven't like really put yourself out there is because you're working on the thing. Oh yeah, I'm still putting the thing together. It's like, dude, I'm telling you, nobody cares about the thing you're putting together right now. So just, you can actually test an offer before it's ready. If somebody buys it, you're not doing somebody a disservice by putting together an offer in real time because you were just testing it. Because an offer is just like any product. At what point do you sell the product? Who's to say too, when it comes to physical products, who's to say that like, dude, your book was incomplete, man? It's like, okay, I'll make a revised version. How many revised books are there?
A lot.
You can revise your offer.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Iterations.
Iterations. But you do want to get people the promise that you set out to, right? The thing that you told them that they were getting. Obviously, don't be a scam artist. And there's scam artists out there, unfortunately. But when you get good at fulfillment, when people get results, when they get more than what they paid for, it makes the fourth part of business so easy. And it's like it's almost as if it's at some point you start printing money in a different way. And that's retention or ascension. When somebody becomes a customer, there's a very, 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 very high likelihood that they are willing to go to the next level with you and no one else. And usually I've seen this happen because I didn't offer a next level, they went somewhere else. But there's a whole revenue opportunity by renewing with you. By just staying in the thing. Or maybe when you do sell your offer, it includes some level of software or access to something that the only way to opt out is to actually give up access to whatever they need to run their business, whatever they need to be successful in whatever, right? So there's so many ways that you can think through this because my friend Matt and client, he's a wealth coach and he gives you, like he opens up a bank account for you that has like digital envelopes. And when you get paid, it gets dispersed into the right envelopes and stuff. And it helps people get out of debt, helps people begin to invest. And they have access to this bank forever, but there will always be a connection to Matt because of this bank. Does that make sense?
Right, yeah.
It's just something to think about. But give yourself permissions to iterate your fulfillment offer, the thing that people are getting, or the thing that they're not what they're getting, but the thing that you're taking them through, and then consider that next step or consider what it looks like to just stay. And yeah, I mean, that alone, like when I think about this, because we care so much and we take care of our people so well, people stay for 2 years, for 3 years. Mm-hmm. There's already people that have been around for 3 years. And that's because it's become essential to their business to be in my coaching program, right? So that's really cool. And there will be a point where if you keep your life If you live wise and you keep your expenses low and you don't upgrade your lifestyle all too much as your business grows, there will be a time where you could stop marketing. And then you don't have to sell anymore. By the way, every step of the process is a sales process.
Yep.
How a person becomes a lead communicates trust, communicates excellence. The buying experience, how a person converts, is a brand play. It speaks of your brand. How people are taken care of, are selling them into the concept of
staying with you.
Staying.
Yeah.
It's all a sales process. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, at some point, when you have 250 people renewing with you at whatever cost that you charge, that's amazing. 1,000 people, you know? This is the four pillars of any business, but specifically how you could level up your online business. The biggest thing I need to encourage you with, and I want to know your final thoughts, is to just simply pick and go. Like, oftentimes too many people are caught up in, I don't know what my niche is, I don't know what my content should be about, it's like, just go. And then tweak along the way. You get the best version of a tweak when you get an expert's eyes on your stuff. And by the way, if you are trying to build something out of ignorance and pure blissfulness, you may waste a lot of energy that could be used in the right direction. Have you just pay a coach or pay somebody to show you the shortcuts or to show you where not to go or what not to do? Yeah.
I mean, to that point, I would say, just go, just like you said, but you can put yourself in a mode of paralysis when you look at the entire picture altogether. And that's the goal. When your goal right now is just like, what's my next small step? Whether that's prepping my talk that I'm going to do to a group of people. And then the next step would be, okay, what am I going to show on stage that captures information? What does that look like? Okay, that's going to be a community. Okay, where, like, it's just step by step. And I think that's where people can find progress and not get stuck. That's and good. Not feel like it's super overwhelming. Every little step matters.
And
focus
just
on
be,
the next step.
Yeah, and be cautious. Be cautious in making what you're talking about complex. Because like what you're making it sound like is just like, it really is that simple. Mm-hmm. And sometimes something so simple can confound people. It can make you feel like you're not doing enough because it's so simple. But I'm telling you from experience, it's like all we're doing now is just trying to unpack how can we lean things out? How can we remove friction or make things more simple for everybody else to understand? Like, once you start serving people and you put yourself out there as an expert, what tends to happen is you get the right of first refusal when it comes to questions. And we get these repetitive questions all the time. Hey, I bought an FX30. How do I set it up? Like, it's in there. It's somewhere there.
It's like there's too much stuff in there now.
Yeah,
you guys are getting lost. So,
So
it's the principle that never fails or will fail is less is more.
Less is more.
Always.
Less is more. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Video is brought to you by the 100th live episode recording of The Department here live in Las Vegas at our video department HQ. People are buying tickets, dude.
Yes, people
I'm
are
seeing
buying
it.
Tickets.
That's so cool. And
so get your ticket now.
Yeah.
November 22nd.
Bro, we need to like, this week, you have to like make a note that we shoot an ad while the spot is set.
Yeah, if you're hearing this, we're going to go public.
We're going public. This is probably going, we're going public.
And spots will fill up.
Yeah. And we're going to start, dude, dynamic ad insertions in the podcast.
Yep.
Pinned reel.
But you say, I mean, we only got like 200 spots.
But already.
Yeah, but already it's inner circle way, stuff. So way
anyway, less than that. All that to say, hit the link in the description. I hope to meet you in Las Vegas and appreciate you, department fam. If you're already, and if you're still listening, DM me and say thank you. And then I'll say you're welcome. And I'm grateful for you. Appreciate you, art.mp4.
Let's go.
Let's go.